Chapter 10. Plans for Aftermorrow. They awoke to a light dusting of snow over the small tent they had shared. Overnight, the Akkadian countryside had transformed from gray and brown to pure white, with tall grasses poking through here and there, and a dusting of powdered sugar on the leaves. Brannis was the first to awake. The pre-dawn light had been enough to rouse him. He lay there for some time, listening to the wind and Soria's light snoring, his thoughts a jumble. I am alone against him. Celia has doomed me. Perhaps she saved me as well. But now there is no shield of liars between me and him. If Roshan's temper had aimed my way, could I have stopped him? Brannis looked to his side, studying the relaxed features of his beloved. No. I sent her away to protect against this. A stirring in Soria's slumber broke Brannis's thoughts. He had to tell her delicately, though he had spared little thought as to how. A note too strong and she would rush back to his aid, safety be gutted. He blew into his hand to warm it before brushing aside a lock of auburn hair and stroking her cheek. Soria stirred once more, stretching out to work lethargic muscles loose. She reached an arm around Brannis and pulled herself close. Her eyes opened and she looked up at him and smiled. By a trick of the light, her eyes took on a bluish to their normal green. In their waking languor, they looked much like Celia's, when hers had no guile in them and Soria's no fire.
You've been awake a while, haven't you? She asked. You don't look sleepy at all.
I suppose so, Brannis replied.
That's not like you.
Her brow knit, her own sleepy expression had faded. Caladhras is dead, Brannis said. Nothing in his musings had provided him with a more tactful approach. Soria gasped, her eyes widened.
What happened?
Dolvain, too, and all the rest of the inner circle, save Fenris and my sister.
Get away from there, she shouted,
hurting his ears from so close. She pushed herself up onto her hands to tower over him, her back against the top of the little tent.
If Roshan is clearing out every sorcerer worth the blood in him...
Soria must have noticed Brannis's nonchalance. Her frantic reaction settled into a look of suspicion.
It wasn't you, was it? Some accident?
Well, that began it, but I think it was more that Roshan's patience with leniency had run out. The murders of my father and your grandfather came with a stay for those who yet lived, Brannis said.
Wait, wait, circle about. What began it? There was some accident, wasn't there?
I leveled the army headquarters when that speaking stone I was making threw back every bit of ether I put into it. I was able to shield myself from it, but the building took the worst of it. It was late, not many still left working at that hour. I've not heard a count of how many might have died.
That's awful, Soria said. But how did the inner circle end up dead for it?
Celia's doing, Brannis said. He watched as Soria's jaw clenched. Stop that. She might well have spared me Roshan's wrath last night. She blamed sabotage. I suspect that it was my own error in some way. Either way, she told Roshan of the plots against him involving both Caladhras and Dolvain. If she knew anything of our parts, she said nothing to Roshan in my hearing.
And for that, Roshan slew nearly the whole of the inner circle? What game is she playing at?
She warned me that Roshan is growing fearful that I might endanger him through incompetence, if not malice. If not for her, I might have taken the brunt of Roshan's tantrum.
You're out of allies, Brannis. If he turns on you, there's no one to stand with you. Aloysia would side with him sooner than you, and I have no idea how Fenris kept himself off the end of Roshan's sword. I'd sooner have suspected him than Dolvain, if I didn't know better from you.
We should make for Scar Harbor, Brannis said. I have no idea how Lord Harwick is taking this, but it seems my best ally has gone blind in one eye, and the Solaran family is destined to be a Tellurac-only gathering. I wonder if I should send for my father to move to the city as well.
I agree. Good plan for this world, but you need to get to safety in Vaedras, too. Even if your trollop savior doesn't set her dog on you, the demon is more monster than human. We'll meet up, take the sky as our estate, and have some adventures well away from Cadran. That sounds lovely, but I think I understand Rashaan. He is lonely, paranoid, finds more deception than truth in the words spoken to him. I am still not certain that I must be the one to unmake him. But if I am, I would rather be prepared, Brannis said. I am still piecing together clues from that book of prophecies you left for me. It lays bare a great deal that I would never have guessed about Rashaan. Soria looked away. She seemed as if she might say something, but as she parted her lips, she paused. She poked her tongue out a bit, moistening her mouth, but said nothing. Axterion has been of some help as well, Brannis continued. Before he went to his final battle as warlock, Rashaan visited both the stone folk beneath the cloud wall and the forest spirits of Potaway Wood. The former rebuked him, and the latter were not to be found, or so he claimed. Brannis craned his neck up to put his face closer to Soria's.
You think he did find the forest spirits, then? Soria asked.
I cannot say for sure, but I think he meant to, and I think he had more thought in going there than just asking their aid against Lorimar.
The book, Soria said. You found something of use in it?
I think he might have found the secret he was looking for in there. One vase, filling fast, spilling faster. To see another, no mirror may reflect it. Where to find its shadow? An absence, not a copy. Seek a way among the spirits.
He sought among the forest spirits, then?
I think so, yes. I cannot assign exact dates to the entries, but this one I think predated his trip to Potawai. It must have. He had so little time between that trip and the Battle of the Dead Earth. I feel like I have all the pieces, but what to do with them? Axterion thinks Rashaan might have come to Tellurak. He thinks that the mysterious figure in my father's book is Rashaan himself, Brannis said. Soria stood then, clambering backward out of the tent to do so. She needed no dressing, for they had gone to sleep bundled in their traveling furs. Brannis followed a moment later, curious about what had prompted her retreat. He found her near the horses, looking southwest toward the Skeleton Peaks.
I have a confession, Soria said as he approached.
She did not turn to him as she spoke.
That book of prophecies was shown to me by Iliardra when she was in Cadrus for the wedding. She left it with a purpose, I thought, so I passed it on to you in secret.
Yes, Brannis knew that much.
She left another book as well, one I didn't want to show you, Soria said.
She turned then, searching for his reaction. All Brannis had to offer was a small, confused frown. What book? He asked. He walked up behind her and wrapped her in his arms. Thick furs separated them, preventing him from feeling her warmth. But he could feel the frailty in her. For all her warrior prowess, she was slender and insubstantial in his embrace.
The Peace of Talax. Have you read it? She asked.
Brannis shook his head.
I thought not, else you may have had other ideas about what to do with Rashaan.
If you knew it could help me with him, why withhold it?
Because I didn't like the manner it would prompt you to do it in. Everyone through the academy hears the name Talax, but they never tell his story. I don't know how much of the book is true, but Iliardra left it, so I suspect she at least believed it.
She ought to know. She told me she knew the man personally, Brannis said. Soria shuddered.
Just thinking of someone being that old bothers me. Only gods should be so ancient.
If you chance to meet her again, maybe you could ask her if she knew them too, Brannis suggested.
I almost wonder whether you aren't joking, Soria said.
She shook her head.
In any event, go to the libraries and see if you can find another copy. If you can't, I'll sneak back and bring you the one I have.
Fine, I will. Today, though, I think we will take a new direction. I see you staring off at those mountains. I cannot help thinking of them, too. I think there is enough in that book, Brannis said, pointing back to the tent where their things were stashed, that we might find Rashaan's old fortress.
Even if we find it, what good would it do us? Soria asked. I don't relish using my magic to try to dig the place out. It's not like you with that mighty source. It's tiring work after a while.
What better remedy for a rock slide than an avalanche? Brannis asked.
Northern Tecalia was a beautiful land in winter, and late autumn might well have been winter for all the difference there was between them. The caravan plied their path in the snowy ruts that marked the road. Old wagon drivers knew the trails well enough from city to city that there was little chance of getting lost aside from a blizzard. The light snowfall, which never quite seemed to fully stop, was little hindrance. Wendell, Zell, and Jaden huddled beneath blankets in the back of the wagon.
"Frostwatch, my aching knees," Wendell muttered. "Wake here from a fevered sleep, and I could swear it Hearthwatch."
"These are the Northlands," Zell said.
The cold air cleared his lungs and did not sweat him like an overwrought horse as the summer heat did.
"We can make for the south if you'd rather, but I think it's safer up here."
"How safe will we be if my mind is too fixated on my shivering to work magic?" Wendell asked,
slipping into Cadran. "Have you any new word of Anzik?"
"No, and I don't know when I might. Roshan slaughtered the Inner Circle last night. If there was some scheme, it might have died in the Sanctum. I haven't asked Kyrus yet. He's been a hard man to see lately."
"Time to make a point of it. I suspect he knows," Wendell said.
"Talk to him yourself. I'm not your lackey," Zelisan snapped.
Wendell was huddled beneath blankets, as unimposing a figure as could be. He looked older than his years of late.
"I can't. He's dangerous to be around. You are guard captain of the palace. Your movements are explicable. I want no hint of my life on this side to come across the warlock's thoughts. Let him think me just a useful minion and nothing more," Wendell said.
"Are you talk Anzik?" Jaden asked. His cadran was halting, thick with Magrin in it, but clear enough to prove he knew what he said.
"Yes, we are, Jaden," Wendell said, continuing on with cadran. "We will find you and bring you home."
"I go home. I on skyboat," Jaden said.
"Well now, look who's started paying attention," Zelisan said with a smile. "Jaden, who took you on the skyboat?"
Jaden paused for a moment. It appeared he might lapse back into the long silence that pervaded his days.
"I took it. Just me."
"You stole an airship?" Wendell asked.
Jaden paused a moment first, but nodded.
"Bring it back!" Wendell shouted.
He looked about abashed as the driver and riders on other wagons turned to see the cause of the commotion. They heard only a man yelling at his grandson in a foreign tongue. Wendell lowered his voice.
"Before you get hurt."
"I not hurt me. Going home." Jaden turned away and looked to the countryside.
"Jaden."
Wendell attempted to get his attention, to no avail.
"Looks like you might have to go looking for him," Zell said.
"That's a boy. You don't have to answer nothing to him," Tanner said.
His Magrin was passable, and he had made good use of it that night. He and the boy shared quarters on the ship, and Anzik's waking had roused him. Deep sleep was a trap many twinborn fell to, but Tanner slept like a guard dog, and it served him well.
"I like it here," Anzik said.
"Well, if you tell me where they're taking your friend Jaden, I can send someone to help him, too," Tanner said.
"We are on the road to Kistark," Anzik replied.
"That should help."
Tanner patted the boy on the head and returned to his bunk. "Now get some sleep. Let me know if you need my help again." As they unmade the little camp that had served them overnight, a breakfast of cured sausage and bread sat in their stomachs. Brannis and Soria rearmed themselves and prepared for whatever lay ahead.
"I was thinking," Soria began.
"That would explain the peaceful passing of breakfast," Brannis joked.
She gave a frown and smile at once, betraying both her amusement and her lack of approval.
"I was thinking that maybe we should head right to Scar Harbor. We may not like the state we'll find Lord Harwick in, but we should find out soon."
"We might also sail from Scar Harbor down to Trevor's Cove and come out a day ahead. I had started to consider the same thing. My armor is there as well, though I was also thinking of saving 2 more days and going straight from Piper's Sands, since we're so close by," Brannis said.
"I see I wasn't the only one pondering over scorched sausage this morning. We can be there after tomorrow," Soria said.
Brannis was kicking snow into their cook fire and stopped short.
"What?
Is that even a word?
In Keshi it is. That's the closest I could make it in Akkadian. It's a common enough joke in Kesh that you can tell Akkadians don't plan ahead because they have no such word as aftermorrow, Soria said.
Oh. Well, we might make it sometime after nightfall if we ride hard, Brenna suggested.
Don't think so. You aren't getting off that easy. We're still stopping at your parents' farm on the way. I won't put off meeting them. Besides, in this snow, the horses might get hurt if we push them too hard, Soria said.
To make her point, she mounted hers. Kairos's parents, Brennus muttered, making sure to do so loud enough that Soria heard him. Never met them myself.
Well, you can either introduce them to me or to both of us. Your choice, Soria said.
She put her heels to her horse and rode off, leaving Brennus to scramble into his own saddle and try to catch up.